Introduction. Quantitative electroencephalography, QEG, offers a powerful method for assessing brain function by analyzing the electrical patterns of neural activity. Unlike traditional EEG, which relies on visual inspection of raw traces, QEG provides numerical and graphical representations of brain dynamics, allowing for more precise identification of deviations from normative patterns. This transformation supports a richer exploration of brain function and dysfunction, offering clinicians data-driven insight into underlying neural mechanisms. However, the full clinical value of QEG is only realized when its results are interpreted within the broader context of the patient's clinical history, symptom presentation, and results from complementary diagnostic assessments such as cognitive testing and behavioral evaluations. When these domains are integrated, the clinician can more confidently differentiate pathological patterns from benign variations. This approach avoids the risks of overinterpretation or diagnostic error based on isolated metrics. The following lecture examines how QEG can be effectively integrated into clinical practice, addressing methodological concerns, practical tools, interpretive frameworks, and specific case applications. Each section expands on the role of EEG variables, assessment tools, decision-making processes, and the contextualization of findings through a biopsychosocial model. This comprehensive approach ensures that QEG findings are both accurate and relevant to therapeutic planning and leads to more effective and ethical clinical care. An integrative assessment approach. Integrating QEG with clinical data begins with recognizing the inherent complexity of brain function and its relationship to behavior, emotion, and cognition. A standalone QEG may reveal patterns such as excessive beta activity, reduced alpha coherence, or abnormal hemispheric asymmetry, but without considering the patient's developmental history, psychosocial environment, and current symptomatology, these patterns can be misinterpreted or overvalued. An integrative assessment approach combines objective EEG metrics with structured clinical interviews, psychological assessments, collateral reports from caregivers or educators, and repeated symptom inventories. This aligns with established principles in neuropsychology and functional medicine, where multiple sources of evidence converge to clarify the clinical picture. Such a comprehensive model ensures that brain-based data are filtered through a functional lens, assessing not just what is occurring at the neurophysiological level, but also how those phenomena manifest behaviorally and emotionally in the client's day-to-day life. Clinicians trained in this integrative model are better equipped to formulate accurate diagnoses and craft individualized treatment protocols, reducing reliance on generic symptom categories and instead basing interventions on a unique constellation of neurophysiological, psychological, and environmental factors. The model supports adaptive goal setting, risk management, and long-term monitoring, anchoring neurofeedback within a broader therapeutic context that honors patient complexity. Measures and methods. To support meaningful clinical decisions, QEG data must be collected and interpreted using standardized, valid, and reliable methods. This includes the use of high-density, artifact-free recordings, typically employing 19-channel electrode caps configured according to the International 1020 system. Electrodes must be properly placed, impedance reduced below critical thresholds, and raw data inspected for noise sources such as eye movement, muscle activity, and line noise. Analysis software then computes absolute and relative power spectra, asymmetry indices, and coherence and phase lag values across discrete frequency bands. These bands delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma are functionally associated with distinct cognitive and affective processes. Measures can be taken under various conditions, such as eyes open and eyes closed resting states, working memory tasks, or sensorimotor engagement. Effective QEG interpretation involves identifying deviations from age norm databases, generating Z-scores that reflect standard deviations from normative means. The presence of significant deviations informs hypotheses about functional impairments. However, these deviations must be examined in light of behavioral observations and clinical symptoms to determine whether they are clinically meaningful. Advanced platforms now allow for cross-frequency coupling analysis, network mapping, and machine learning-based classification. Measures are not endpoints, but indicators that must be contextualized through multidisciplinary clinical judgment. Ultimately, The clinical validity of the measures depends on methodological rigor, proper artifact rejection, and their alignment with meaningful behavioral phenomena and client goals. EEG variables. Among the most informative elements of QEG are individual EEG variables such as sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma activity, which are examined for their amplitudes, frequencies, and distributions across the cortex. These variables are often selected for training based on deviations from normative values or patterns associated with the presenting symptoms. For example, clients with symptoms of inattention may demonstrate an elevated theta to beta ratio at midline sites, leading to a protocol focused on increasing beta activity and suppressing theta. The choice of a target variable is not arbitrary, but guided by clinical theory, empirical literature, and baseline recordings. The EEG variable is usually assessed during a pre-training baseline period and is subsequently compared to post-training baselines to evaluate the impact of the intervention. Some neurofeedback systems include real-time metrics and visual feedback to monitor training progress within and between sessions. When practitioners have access to multi-channel systems, they may observe generalization of training effects across cortical regions, suggesting broader network reorganization. Graphing these variables session by session facilitates longitudinal tracking, revealing trends, and informing adjustments to the training protocol. This dynamic monitoring supports adaptive, individualized neurofeedback that evolves with the client's progress and changing needs. Qualitative anecdotal report. Anecdotal reports provide a qualitative dimension to neurofeedback assessment by capturing the subjective experiences and contextual details of the client's daily functioning. These reports are especially useful for tracking progress in domains that are difficult to quantify, such as emotional well-being, interpersonal functioning, or motivational changes. Clients or collateral informants, such as parents, teachers, or partners, are encouraged to describe specific instances of improved or worsened functioning, linking changes to identifiable contexts and internal states. This could include a child's ability to sit through a class without interruption or an adult client reporting increased calmness during a previously stressful social interaction. Such anecdotal narratives enable clinicians to identify patterns that may not yet be evident in quantitative measures, thereby guiding session content and informing protocol adjustments. The collection of anecdotal data also facilitates therapeutic rapport and client engagement, as individuals feel that their personal experiences are heard and valued. Additionally, practitioners can compare anecdotal reports over time to construct a longitudinal narrative that illustrates the trajectory of change, offering a holistic view of treatment efficacy and highlighting whether emerging effects align with targeted outcomes. Quantitative self-report. Quantitative self-report tools convert subjective impressions into standardized data that can be graphically analyzed and longitudinally reviewed. These tools range from numeric rating scales to psychometrically validated questionnaires and are typically administered at the beginning or end of each session. For example, clients may rate their perceived stress, sleep quality, or ability to concentrate using a 0 to 10 scale, with results recorded to visualize symptom trends. This practice helps bridge the subjective and objective realms, allowing the client and clinician to monitor internal changes and contextualize them alongside EEG metrics. Moreover, using tools such as visual analog scales, VS, or Likert-based symptom inventories facilitates communication between clients and practitioners by providing a shared language for describing experience. The repeated use of such measures increases their reliability and helps detect even subtle changes in psychological or physiological states. Quantitative self-reports are particularly useful when linked to specific therapeutic goals. For instance, a client working on reducing irritability may complete a scale focused on mood regulation before each session, enabling the clinician to align neurofeedback adjustments with real-world symptom fluctuations. These measures are also valuable for documenting clinical progress for third-party stakeholders such as insurance providers, schools, or interdisciplinary treatment teams. Self-monitoring. Self-monitoring strategies extend the data collection process beyond the clinical environment, empowering clients to observe and document their own experiences in real-world contexts. Clients are typically instructed to record symptoms, behaviors, or physiological sensations at specific times or in response to specific triggers. This might involve rating concentration after a class, tracking instances of impulsive behavior during social interactions, or logging physical tension levels at bedtime. By doing so, clients develop a greater awareness of their internal states and environmental influences, which supports self-regulation and therapeutic insight. Self-monitoring also promotes active engagement in the treatment process and helps clients assume greater responsibility for their own improvement. Clinicians can review self-monitoring logs to identify patterns, evaluate triggers and antecedents, and determine whether gains observed in the clinic generalize to daily life. Structured tools, such as mobile apps, paper diaries, or wearable sensors, enhance consistency and compliance in data collection. Verbal prompts or environmental cues, e.g., sticky notes, phone alarms, are often employed to support adherence. In cases where clients struggle to notice internal states, such structured observation can catalyze new awareness and behavioral change. Integrating these findings with QEG metrics enables clinicians to create a detailed map of progress, incorporating subjective, behavioral, and neurophysiological perspectives into treatment planning. Behavioral observation. Behavioral observation is a foundational component of applied behavior analysis and plays a critical role in evaluating the effects of neurofeedback training. Unlike self-reports or questionnaires that rely on client perception, behavioral observation involves the direct measurement of observable actions in specific contexts. These observations are often conducted by therapists, educators, parents, or caregivers, and include systematic recording of behaviors such as attention span, task initiation, completion rates, frequency of disruptive behaviors, or number of socially appropriate interactions. For example, a parent may document how often their child interrupts during a 30-minute homework session, while a teacher may record whether a student remains on task across consecutive class periods. These quantifiable behaviors can be graphed over time to identify trends, assess treatment response, and adjust protocols as needed. Observation also enhances ecological validity by capturing real-world functioning, particularly in settings like classrooms or home environments integral to the client's daily life. Behavioral observation tools, such as interval recording sheets or event frequency logs, can be customized to suit the presenting concerns and ensure reliability. By aligning observed behavioral changes with shifts in EEG variables, clinicians can determine whether neurophysiological improvements translate into functional outcomes, reinforcing the value of QEG-informed training. Rating scales. Rating scales offer a psychometrically sound method for assessing a wide range of psychological, emotional, and functional domains relevant to neurofeedback. These instruments have been rigorously developed and validated to measure constructs such as depression, anxiety, attention deficits, emotional regulation, executive functioning, and social competence. They are typically completed by clients, parents, teachers, or clinicians and use standardized scoring systems to produce norm-referenced or criterion-based results. Examples include the Beck Depression Inventory, Connors Rating Scales, Achenbach System of Empirically Based Assessment, and the Depression, Anxiety, and Stress Scales. Administering rating scales at baseline and regular intervals throughout training allows for objective tracking of change and supports evidence-based decision-making. These tools also facilitate interdisciplinary collaboration, enabling professionals from different fields to share a common understanding of client functioning. In the context of QEG, rating scales can help confirm whether EEG patterns correlate with reported symptoms and whether treatment is producing meaningful improvements. Additionally, newer rating instruments assess constructs such as mindfulness, resilience, and quality of life, broadening the scope of outcomes that can be evaluated. Integrating these scales into neurofeedback programs ensures that the assessment process remains comprehensive, reliable, and responsive to individual treatment goals. Cognitive tests. Cognitive testing is a critical adjunct to QEG in evaluating the functional integrity of mental processes, including attention, memory, processing speed, executive control, and verbal fluency. These tests, which may be paper-based or computerized, provide objective performance metrics that can validate and enrich interpretations derived from EEG data. For example, A client showing reduced alpha activity in posterior regions may also perform poorly on visual memory tasks, supporting a coherent neurocognitive profile. Standardized tools such as the Wechsler scales, CNS vital signs, or the repeatable battery for the assessment of neuropsychological status, RBANS, are frequently employed, often with alternate forms to mitigate practice effects during repeated administration. Cognitive tests can also detect subtle changes that might not be observable in everyday behavior, making them useful for early detection of cognitive decline or monitoring progress in rehabilitation. In neurofeedback, cognitive test results help determine baseline functioning, guide protocol selection, and assess whether targeted neural training translates into measurable improvements. Integrating cognitive test outcomes with QEG findings provides a dual-layered assessment model, combining functional and neurophysiological aspects, allowing clinicians to triangulate evidence and develop more accurate, effective, and personalized interventions. Psychophysiological assessment. Psychophysiological assessment encompasses the measurement of peripheral physiological signals that reflect autonomic nervous system activity and complement central nervous system data obtained via QEG. Commonly assessed signals include skin conductance, reflecting sympathetic arousal, skin temperature, indicative of peripheral vasoconstriction, respiration rate, and pattern, linked to both cognitive state and emotional regulation, electromyography, EMG, for muscle tension, and heart rate variability, HRV, which serves as an index of vagal tone and stress resilience. Many modern neurofeedback systems support the simultaneous acquisition of these metrics alongside EEG signals, offering a multidimensional profile of psychophysiological functioning. This integration allows clinicians to evaluate whether corresponding shifts in autonomic regulation accompany training-induced changes in brain activity. For example, a client demonstrating decreased beta activity during neurofeedback might also exhibit increased HRV or reduced EMG activity, signaling enhanced relaxation. These measures are particularly useful in cases involving anxiety, trauma, or somatic symptoms, where peripheral physiological dysregulation is often prominent. Psychophysiological assessments can be used before, during, or after EEG training sessions to establish baselines, monitor generalization effects, or evaluate recovery trajectories. When analyzed in conjunction with EEG data, these peripheral signals enrich diagnostic formulations and strengthen clinical decision-making, offering a whole system's view of the client's neurophysiological state. Decision-making. Clinical decision-making in neurofeedback is a dynamic process synthesizing information from multiple domains, including QEG findings, client-reported outcomes, observed behavior, standardized assessments, and practitioner expertise. This process unfolds within the broader framework of evidence-based practice, which mandates the integration of the best available research evidence with clinical expertise and patient values. Ongoing assessment is central in informing whether the current protocol should be maintained, adjusted, or discontinued. For example, if EEG metrics and self-reports indicate consistent improvement aligned with the client's goals, continuation of the protocol is generally warranted until a plateau or endpoint is reached. Conversely, if progress is stagnant or adverse effects emerge, the clinician may modify reward parameters, shift electrode placement, or change training frequency. In more complex cases, such as those involving comorbid conditions or treatment resistance, a reassessment with a full-cap 19-channel QEG may uncover overlooked dysfunctions or misaligned protocols. Furthermore, decision-making extends to integrating with adjunctive treatments, including psychotherapy, pharmacotherapy, mindfulness training, or lifestyle interventions. Interdisciplinary consultation may be necessary, particularly when neurofeedback is part of a broader care plan. Clinicians must remain flexible, analytical, and responsive, using cumulative data to shape the course of treatment and maximize therapeutic benefit adaptively. Summary. The comprehensive neurofeedback assessment process is multifaceted, involving the integration of QEG metrics with self-report, behavioral, physiological, and standardized data. This multidimensional approach facilitates precision diagnosis, tailored protocol development, and continuous outcome monitoring. Each method, whether anecdotal reporting, rating scale completion, psychophysiological monitoring, or behavioral observation, contributes unique information that enhances the clinician's understanding of the client's condition and response to treatment. When triangulated, these data sources support robust decision-making that respects the individuality of each client. This commitment to empirical validation, transparency, and client-centered care upholds ethical practice. Additionally, this integrative strategy fosters interdisciplinary collaboration, facilitating communication across professions and treatment modalities. Ultimately, a rigorous and holistic assessment framework not only improves treatment outcomes, but also strengthens the scientific credibility and clinical effectiveness of neurofeedback as an intervention. Importance of integrating QEG with clinical data. Integrating QEG data with broader clinical information transforms raw neurophysiological metrics into actionable clinical insights. While QEG provides objective measures of brain function, such as abnormal frequency band activity, asymmetry, or connectivity, these patterns must be understood in light of the client's developmental background, presenting problems, functional impairments, and psychosocial context. The integration process guards against false positives, misdiagnosis, or unnecessary interventions by distinguishing clinically significant findings from normative variability. For example, elevated beta activity might suggest hyperarousal, but if unaccompanied by anxiety or sleep disturbance, it may reflect a normative trait. When QEG is paired with clinical history, symptom inventories, and observational data, its diagnostic utility increases dramatically. This convergence enables more refined hypotheses regarding symptom origin and facilitates individualized treatment planning. Integrating data is not a passive exercise, but requires deliberate synthesis by a skilled clinician who understands neurophysiology, psychopathology, and the art of clinical reasoning. Furthermore, integration enables meaningful communication with other healthcare providers, encouraging collaborative care and aligning neurofeedback interventions with existing pharmacological, psychotherapeutic, or educational strategies. In summary, clinical integration is the cornerstone of responsible QEG interpretation and is essential for realizing its full potential in patient care. Enhanced diagnostic accuracy. One of the primary benefits of integrating QEG with other clinical data is the enhancement of diagnostic precision. While symptom checklists or clinical interviews provide valuable subjective information, they often lack specificity in identifying the underlying neurobiological correlates of dysfunction. QEG helps fill this gap by revealing functional biomarkers, patterns of abnormal activity across specific cortical regions and frequency bands that correlate with particular conditions. For instance, increased frontal theta may be associated with executive dysfunction, while reduced posterior alpha can signal visual processing difficulties. When these patterns are analyzed in conjunction with neuropsychological test results and symptom profiles, clinicians can more accurately differentiate between diagnoses that may present similarly at the behavioral level, such as ADHD versus anxiety disorders, or unipolar depression versus bipolar disorder. Enhanced accuracy reduces the risk of misdiagnosis, improves treatment targeting, and builds confidence in the therapeutic alliance. It also helps clinicians to detect comorbidities, which are often missed in single modality assessments. In complex cases involving overlapping symptomatology, the triangulation of QEG data with multiple other clinical indicators provides a comprehensive map of the client's cognitive and emotional landscape, essential for effective treatment planning. Personalized treatment planning. Integrating QEG into clinical decision-making allows for designing highly personalized treatment plans tailored to each client's unique neurophysiological profile. Instead of relying solely on symptom descriptions or generalized diagnostic categories, clinicians can use QEG data to identify specific functional disruptions, such as underarousal, hyperconnectivity, or hemispheric asymmetry, contributing to the client's distress or impairment. These findings can then inform targeted neurofeedback protocols that reward desired brain states and inhibit maladaptive patterns. For example, if a client with depression exhibits left frontal hypoactivation, a protocol can be designed to increase left frontal beta or decrease right-sided alpha activity. Similarly, A client with PTSD may benefit from protocols aimed at normalizing high beta or low alpha activity in regions associated with hypervigilance and emotional reactivity. Personalized plans also extend to monitoring strategies, as clinicians can establish individualized baselines and track specific variables of interest over time. This granular approach enhances treatment efficiency by minimizing trial and error adjustments and focusing on interventions with the highest likelihood of success. Personalized planning reinforces client motivation, as individuals are more likely to engage with treatments that are clearly linked to their own brain data and explained in understandable terms. Monitoring treatment efficacy. Monitoring treatment efficacy through QEG allows clinicians to quantify neurophysiological change over time and determine whether these changes align with reported symptom improvement and functional outcomes. By comparing pre- and post-treatment EEG metrics, such as absolute power, coherence, or asymmetry, clinicians can objectively evaluate whether a protocol produces its intended effects. For instance, reducing high beta activity at frontal sites may be accompanied by self-reported decreases in anxiety or improved sleep patterns. This feedback loop not only validates the treatment approach, but also provides early indicators of progress or stagnation, supporting timely adjustments to enhance therapeutic benefit. Longitudinal monitoring often includes periodic reevaluations using full-cap QEG assessments, allowing system-wide analysis of change and detection of previously unnoticed effects. Additionally, clinicians may assess trends within individual sessions or across several weeks, using graphical displays to visualize training trajectories. These data can also be shared with clients to reinforce engagement, demonstrate progress, and solidify the rationale behind continued training. Monitoring treatment efficacy is especially critical in complex cases or when working with populations that may have fluctuating symptoms, such as those with mood disorders, traumatic brain injury, or neurodevelopmental conditions. It ensures that neurofeedback remains dynamic and responsive, rather than static and protocol-driven, promoting evidence-based, client-centered care. Methods of integrating the QEG with clinical data. Effective integration of QEG with other clinical data relies on structured processes and clear interpretive frameworks. The first step typically involves comprehensive intake procedures, where clinicians collect developmental, medical, psychiatric, educational, and family histories. This information provides essential context for understanding the meaning and significance of QEG findings. Next, QEG data are analyzed using normative databases and statistical algorithms to identify regions or networks exhibiting deviant activity patterns. These findings are not interpreted in isolation, but are mapped onto symptomatology, behavioral observations, and results from neuropsychological or psychometric assessments. For example, if a client presents with attentional problems, a finding of increased frontal theta activity supports the diagnosis and informs the direction of training. Cross-modal comparisons, such as correlating EEG slowing with MRI evidence of cortical thinning, can further strengthen interpretations. Integration may also involve interdisciplinary consultation, especially in complex or refractory cases. Software platforms that align EEG markers with clinical descriptors, such as symptom clusters or diagnostic criteria, are increasingly used to support efficient data synthesis. Ultimately, the integration method must be transparent, replicable, and clinically meaningful, ensuring that recommendations based on QEG data are ethically sound and tailored to the individual. Clinical history. A detailed clinical history provides the foundational context for interpreting QEG findings and is essential for developing an accurate case formulation. History taking includes information about early developmental milestones, prenatal exposures, family psychiatric history, academic performance, occupational functioning, trauma exposure, medical illnesses, and prior treatment responses. For instance, a history of closed head injury may help explain the presence of frontal slow waves or reduced coherence between hemispheres. Similarly, recurrent episodes of depression in the family may contextualize frontal alpha asymmetry seen in the EEG. Historical data also clarify the chronicity, variability, and triggers of symptoms, which are essential for correlating EEG patterns with clinical presentations. In pediatric cases, developmental delays, prenatal complications, or attachment disruptions may influence neurodevelopmental trajectories and should be considered when interpreting EEG results. Documentation of medication use, substance exposure, and sleep hygiene also informs the interpretation of frequency-specific abnormalities. Clinical history serves as both a filter and a framework, helping clinicians differentiate between trait and state EEG changes. It ensures that all interpretations are grounded in the client's lived experience. This integrative perspective guards against over-reliance on electrophysiological data and upholds the principle of holistic assessment. Symptomatology. Symptomatology refers to the constellation of signs and symptoms that characterize a client's condition, and it plays a central role in interpreting quantitative electroencephalography, QEG data. By mapping EEG abnormalities onto specific symptom clusters, clinicians can determine which findings are most clinically relevant and guide training protocols accordingly. For example, elevated theta-to-beta ratios in frontocentral regions are often linked with attentional deficits, while excessive high beta in right temporal areas may correlate with hypervigilance or anxiety. Detailed symptom tracking, encompassing frequency, severity, duration, onset, and situational variability, enables a more nuanced interpretation of QEG metrics. Clinicians should also consider whether symptoms are episodic, chronic, or stress-induced, as these temporal features influence how EEG data are contextualized. When symptomatology aligns with electrophysiological patterns, it increases diagnostic confidence and strengthens protocol selection. In contrast, a mismatch may signal either a misinterpretation of EEG results or the presence of non-neurological factors, such as the effects of medication or psychological comorbidities. Symptomatology also guides goal setting, allowing clinicians to define clear, measurable outcomes linked to EEG targets. By continuously revisiting symptom profiles throughout treatment, practitioners ensure that the evolving neurofeedback protocol remains aligned with the client's functional needs and therapeutic objectives. Other clinical assessments. Complementary assessments, including neuroimaging, psychometric testing, behavioral evaluations, and physiological monitoring, provide essential data that enrich QEG interpretation and support comprehensive clinical decision-making. For instance, MRI or CT scans can identify structural abnormalities that may explain QEG patterns such as focal slowing or decreased coherence. Neuropsychological batteries assess domains like attention, memory, language, and executive functioning, revealing cognitive strengths and deficits that can be mapped onto EEG findings. Behavioral assessments, such as classroom observation or structured interviews, supply contextual data about how symptoms manifest in real-world settings. Meanwhile, peripheral physiological measures, such as HRV, EMG, or skin conductance, provide insights into autonomic regulation that complement EEG data on cortical arousal. When these diverse assessments converge, they offer a multidimensional profile of client functioning, increasing diagnostic accuracy and treatment precision. Integration is especially valuable in complex or ambiguous cases, where a single modality may offer incomplete or misleading information. Cross-validation between modalities strengthens the reliability of findings and reduces interpretive bias. Ultimately, including multiple clinical assessments ensures that neurofeedback is applied within a broader, systems-based framework, maximizing safety, efficacy, and ethical integrity. Case examples. Case examples illustrate the practical application of QEG integration in real-world clinical contexts, highlighting the value of combining EEG metrics with detailed histories, symptom tracking, and multimodal assessments. In a child diagnosed with ADHD, for example, QEG may reveal a high theta-to-beta ratio at FZ, confirming attentional dysregulation. When this finding is paired with teacher behavioral reports, rating scales from parents, and poor performance on working memory tasks, a coherent clinical picture emerges, guiding targeted SMR or beta training protocols. In a client with major depressive disorder, left frontal alpha asymmetry may be identified, supporting the hypothesis of approach-related motivational deficits. This data, integrated with mood inventories and a history of poor SSRI response, may lead to consideration of alternative interventions such as neurofeedback combined with behavioral activation. In epilepsy, QEG can localize interictal spikes or seizure-prone networks not detected through standard EEG alone. When linked with seizure diaries, medication history, and neurologic imaging, this facilitates medication adjustments or surgical planning. These examples underscore the versatility of QEG when embedded within a well-rounded clinical evaluation. They demonstrate how multimodal integration not only improves diagnostic precision, but also personalizes interventions in ways that enhance both efficacy and patient engagement. Attention deficit / hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. In the assessment and treatment of attention deficit / hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, QEG has become a powerful tool for identifying neurophysiological markers that align with specific behavioral presentations. One of the most well-established findings in ADHD is the elevated theta-to-beta ratio, particularly in frontocentral regions, which reflects underarousal and poor regulation of cortical activity. This pattern is often associated with inattentive symptoms such as distractibility, daydreaming, and sluggish cognitive tempo. In hyperactive or combined subtypes, additional findings may include excessive beta activity or abnormal asymmetry between hemispheres, suggesting dysregulated arousal systems or impaired executive functioning. QEG data are typically supplemented with behavioral observations, standardized rating scales from parents and teachers, and performance-based cognitive assessments to build a comprehensive profile. Neurofeedback interventions can then be individualized to reduce excess theta, enhance beta activity, or improve frontal connectivity. Protocols such as SMR training or frontal beta reward protocols have improved attentional control, impulse regulation, and academic performance. Importantly, integrating QEG with clinical history such as age of onset, family history, and comorbid conditions ensures that EEG findings are interpreted correctly and that treatment is aligned with the client's specific functional impairments. This multimodal integration is crucial for optimizing outcomes in a population where symptom presentation and severity vary widely. Major depressive disorder, MDD. QEG is increasingly used to support diagnosis and treatment planning in major depressive disorder, MDD, where traditional assessment methods may lack objective biological markers. One of the most consistent QEG findings in depression is frontal alpha asymmetry, particularly reduced left frontal activation relative to the right, which is interpreted as diminished approach motivation and withdrawal-oriented affective style. Additional findings may include global alpha elevation, indicating cortical hypoactivation, or increased beta activity associated with ruminative thinking and inner tension. These patterns are not diagnostic in isolation, but gain clinical significance when correlated with symptom profiles, functional impairments, and history of treatment response. For instance, patients with frontal alpha asymmetry may respond more favorably to specific antidepressants or neuromodulation techniques, like transcranial magnetic stimulation. In neurofeedback, protocols may focus on increasing left frontal beta activity or reducing right-sided alpha, aimed at restoring functional balance and improving mood regulation. Behavioral data, mood inventories, and cognitive performance tests further guide protocol adjustments and help monitor treatment progress. When QEG findings are integrated with clinical and psychometric data, they support individualized treatment plans that address affective symptoms and cognitive deficits, such as impaired attention or slowed processing speed. This approach aligns with precision psychiatry, enhancing diagnostic accuracy and therapeutic efficacy for individuals with MDD. Epilepsy. In the context of epilepsy, QEG provides unique advantages in identifying abnormal cortical excitability and localizing seizure foci, particularly when standard EEG results are inconclusive. QEG analyses allow for high-resolution spatial mapping of epileptiform activity, revealing patterns such as interictal spikes, high-amplitude slow waves, or paroxysmal bursts in specific regions. These findings are often integrated with clinical seizure history, medication response, neuroimaging data, and detailed symptom tracking to construct a comprehensive epilepsy profile. For instance, in focal epilepsy, QEG may identify increased theta or delta activity in the temporal lobe, guiding further diagnostic imaging or surgical planning. Neurofeedback applications in epilepsy typically aim to increase sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, over central sites or reduce slow wave activity in seizure-prone areas to stabilize cortical excitability and reduce seizure frequency. Some protocols incorporate real-time seizure detection algorithms or combine neurofeedback with biofeedback modalities to enhance self-regulation. Careful documentation of seizure diaries, medication regimens, and lifestyle triggers supports the interpretation of QEG changes over time. Importantly, any interpretation of QEG in epilepsy must be undertaken with caution and in collaboration with neurology, ensuring that findings are consistent with clinical and electrographic evidence. When used appropriately, QEG adds diagnostic clarity and supports individualized, non-pharmacologic interventions that improve seizure control and quality of life. Summary. The final sections of this lecture have demonstrated how QEG can be applied in diverse clinical conditions, including ADHD, MDD, and epilepsy, when interpreted within a multimodal assessment framework. Each condition presents distinct neurophysiological markers, such as elevated theta/beta ratios, frontal alpha asymmetry, or localized epileptiform activity, that gain clinical utility when contextualized with behavioral, cognitive, and historical data. QEG-guided neurofeedback protocols can then be designed to target specific abnormalities and support functional recovery, ranging from attentional improvements in ADHD to mood stabilization in depression and seizure reduction in epilepsy. Integrating QEG with symptom tracking, collateral reports, structured interviews, and additional clinical assessments ensures that interventions are tailored, evidence-based, and client-centered. These examples illustrate the overarching principle of this lecture, that QEG metrics should not be interpreted in isolation but embedded in a comprehensive clinical framework. This approach enhances diagnostic precision, treatment efficacy, and long-term outcomes, affirming the value of QEG as a cornerstone of contemporary neuropsychological assessment and intervention.